Hello and welcome back to a brand new series of the Gadget Show podcast. We've got a packed series for you over the next few months. I am genuinely excited. Those arms were real. But before we dive back into the gadgets, a quick word from our friends and brand new sponsor. Yes, indeed. Sex. That's C-E-X, not the other thing that obviously you just thought about.
Yep, CEX is the place where your old tech gets a second life and where you can grab things like phones, consoles, laptops and games without paying stupid money.
Yeah, and everything that you get from sex, are we going with CEX? We'll go with that.
Comes
with a 5-year warranty, even that bargain WeFit board you've had your eye on for a few weeks, Susie.
Do you remember that? In the corner. Yeah.
Hey, can I show you something?
Actually, go on then. Look, got that. What were we like 20 seconds into the podcast? Did you?
Yeah, look, just to show you that I am a genuine CEX customer.
What you bought?
I've got myself a microphone. It's ever so good, actually. First generation Blue, which is rather good, although a bit wonky. And I'll tell you what happened, and this is one of the things that CEX is really good for. So this is not an advert. This is a real thing that happened to me last week. I was up in Lincoln. And I realised, oh my God, I've got to do my radio show. I do this radio show for Street Sounds. And I haven't got a microphone. Because I can do it on the laptop and everything. So I ran into CEX and I don't know what it was, 50 quid or something. Grabbed it. And then, of course, I'll be able to sell it back to them if I want. Or I could swap it for you know, some headphones or something. So, yeah, I've been a lifelong member as long as I've been kind of, well, certainly since I was in London. So more than 20 years, I've been a CEX customer.
Yeah, so whether you're trading in your old tablet or you want to buy a microphone, head to webuy.com or you can pop into one of nearly 400 CEX stores across the UK.
Oh, yeah, tell them that Susie and Jay sent you and they'll probably ask you to politely leave. No, they probably won't care. Let's be absolutely honest, but it makes me and Susie feel really good. So there you go. Yeah. So in this week's opening episode for our new series, we're covering all of Apple's recent announcements, plus our favourite weird and wonderful tech from IFA in Berlin. That includes AI tennis bots, twisty laptops and a vacuum that climbs the stairs, to name but a few.
Also, a little nudge, if you do love the pod and you fancy supporting us on Patreon for bonus clips, early access and blooper reels, they're mainly Jason's, details are later.
But first, time to talk about our week in tech. Susie, what have you been playing, watching, tinkering with since we last spoke? I mean, I've seen you've been all over the world. I've been watching your social media, so I don't know if you've had much time for tech.
Well, I'm going to keep this real. So I have been really busy. I've been renovating my house. So I want to talk about home tech later on in the series.
Yeah,
I did left my AirPods in a hotel charging, which, you know, if you're listening, it's just like, I've done that and lost them. Fortunately, I am going to get them back, but that was annoying. And I know we're going to talk about IFA later on in the episode, but there's a couple of quirky things. One, not great, and one, I think, quite good. So first of all, I thought this was going to be good. Did you see the Sense robot? Did you see that? I don't know.
No, I didn't.
It's a chess playing Bob. It's got an actual arm that moves the pieces and then there's a camera overhead that keeps a track of the game. And I thought it was going to be, you know, terrifyingly brilliant. But apparently reporters played it and it was absolutely terrible. And it gave up a bishop for a pawn. But it is quite cute. So when the little built-in screen isn't showing game stats, it turns into a face, which is, you know, quite adorable. But what I did think was
But
great.
It's rubbish at chess.
But it's soul rubbish function. At chess.
I love it. I love it.
I didn't think anything would surprise me more than this. So a self-flushing smart cat toilet. It's from a company called Pet Goo Goo. Stay with me.
Great.
And it hooks directly into your home waste system. So every time, you know, your cat goes to the loo, it basically clears it away for you. So you don't have to dig in with the old, you know, little spade and sort it all out. And it's spotless. And it's roomy enough even for my chunky wild cats. It's got a 15-litre storage bin to automatically top up the litter when it gets low. And rather cleverly, it's fitted with an infrared and weight sensor, so it won't start cleaning the toilet while your cat's still inside. And as somebody that's very, very firmly team cat or crazy cat lady, whatever you want to call me, I think this could be an ultimate gadget. To me, it's got me tempted.
I love it. I don't have any cats. In fact, I'm allergic to them, but it sounds like an absolutely wonderful thing. I mean, I've been busy. The truth is, I'm now editing the movie that you've been very kind
exciting.
To let me talk about when we were Kickstarter funding it in the previous series of the Gadget Show podcast. So I'm editing every day. I mean, oh my gosh, it's just taking absolutely ages. It's looking good. It's very interesting. You'd think you could just, you know, there's just a couple of options to just put two clips together. How long is a piece of string? It's so subjective. So yeah, that's going to be coming up. One other little thing as well, because we were trying to say what have we been doing this week, and I was playing with this, which was sent to me by a company called My Arcade. I'll try and hold it up.
Rather
sexy.
Yeah, that's cute.
It's a cute little thing, and it's basically a mini sort of pocket sized Atari console, so you can play 100 games. But a good chunk of them are retro games from back in Atari's founding days. So, you know, the days of the Atari 2600 when it was really, really simple 8-bit stuff. So things like Breakout and Pong and some of the and Adventure, some of those really great games that we were playing in the very late 70s, early 80s. I think it's good because you can put batteries in it. So you can, if you take it to the hotel with you and it's 2 a.m, you can't sleep, you can pop out and get some batteries, whack it in there. You've also got USB-C as a power source as well, which is actually why I'm not showing you it turned on, because I haven't got a long enough lead to get to the computer. And I don't have a screwdriver in this office to undo the battery port. But it's lovely, full color, comes with 100 games. Really great, wow. Great idea. As we slowly start, and I know it might feel a bit early, to start thinking about stocking fillers or gifts for partners and things like that, it's a goodie. So there we go. We'll put some details
Stop
of this.
That.
Yeah, wherever we put it on social media, maybe our producer Tom can remind me so you can find it. But it's by My Arcade, and they've got a bunch of Atari-themed bits and pieces. That's one of them. Okay, enough said.
That looks very cool, but you've kind of got my back up talking about Christmas already. It is September.
Sorry, I apologise.
That's okay.
Let's move on before you get upset with me.
Okay. If you want to know more about our tech lives, of course, we've got the Patreon page. On there, you can find exclusive episodes, bonus content, behind the scenes bits and pieces, and extra gadget chat that we couldn't squeeze into the main show. And it's the only place that you can watch the episodes completely ad-free.
Yes, and Susie's promised to share her unfiltered rants about Tangled charging cables and long haul shenanigans. Trust me, it's worth the price of admission just for that. And yes, I know I said I'd do it last series. I've done it. I've been to the lockup, guys.
Oh, have you?
And I've started filming some of the gear. And even I was surprised what I've got in there. So that's the sort of stuff that you can find if you are willing to come along to the patreon.com/thegadgetshow page and join the community. We'd love to have you there.
Right, now, ladies and gentlemen, on to the juicy details from Apple's iPhone launch event. Headline grabber? Surprisingly, it wasn't the Pro this time. It was the brand new iPhone 17 Air, Apple's thinnest iPhone ever, powered by the A19 Pro chip, that one with the jaw-dropping 6.5-inch ultra-slim design that still packs flagship performance.
Incredible stuff. I mean, I know there's a number of ways that we can dive into this. Should we just vibe a little bit? Is that all right? Because I'm rather excited about this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, I say I'm excited, Susie. I don't know about where you're coming from on this, but I do feel, I mean, I wonder if they should do it every 2 years, because it does feel a little bit like a damp squib now that we've had some major innovations, starting off with, you know, you and I with the first ever iPhone. What could possibly compare to that? Interestingly, you mentioned the iPhone 17 Air. I think that's probably, as you said, the headline. I mean, there is the iPhone 17, the straightforward one, starting at 256 gigs with a 120 hertz screen on it, I believe, sort of retinal display and all this sort of lovely ProMotion smooth readout for your, you know, your kind of content consumption. eSIMs across the board if you want to take advantage of that. We'll talk about the pros, no doubt. But yeah, it's the iPhone 17 Air that takes the headline, because actually it does what Apple do really well and have always done, right from back in the day with the first iPhone or the first iPod, and then the various iterations of the iPod, and of course, most recently, the Vision Pro. They make things that are so beautiful, they look like jewellery. You know what I mean? And I don't know about you, not been hands-on, because I only watched the keynote yesterday. Yeah, it's only 5 millimetres thick, made of titanium, whereas the Pro range, as you know, they've moved to aluminium. We'll talk about that. just looks beautiful. And rather than the rather large camera plateau, as they called it, for the iPhone 17 Pro and Pro Max, it's only got one camera, one 48 megapixel fusion camera on the rear, and then that same selfie cam, the 18 megapixel on the front. Little bit of a bulge, but not too much. So I like it. I mean, I want the big feature set, which we'll talk about with the pros, but I like it. What's your take?
Well, first of all, they roll out on Friday, don't they? They're not messing about. So starting at 999. I'll just go through the breakdown of everything, and then I want to ask you a question at the end, okay?
Sure.
So the full iPhone lineup that Jason's talking about there. So we've got iPhone 17, we've got iPhone 17 Pro, iPhone 17 Pro Max, and the ultra-thin iPhone Air. And that is the one, obviously, that's been making the headlines with its, like you say, 5.6 mil titanium frame and standout thinness. Displays range from the slim 6.3-inch base iPhone 17 through to the Pro Max immersive 6.9-inch screen, with the Air offering a 6.5-inch display that's surprisingly expansive for its featherlight build. And amazingly, the Air and the new Pro is the first major visual design overhaul on the iPhone since the 11 in 2019. And here comes my question. 2019, I mean, so 6 years ago, I've still got, and you're going to be a bit surprised by this, but I've still got the iPhone 13 because I've been kind of waiting for something that's excited me enough to replace it.
That would merit the investment,
Exactly. So if I'm going to spend, you know, £1,100, is it worth me spending it on this one?
It's incredible, isn't it, the amount of money, you know, and I would point out to all of our listeners and viewers, obviously, there are loads of other manufacturers that make great phones, and we should focus on those, in at least some of them, as the series moves forward. There's one particular brand, which I won't mention now, but I think you're going to love. So stay tuned for that. But this is Apple's day, so we'll focus on that. And yes, I do think, you know, £1,000 or north of that is a lot of money. But I wonder if now, yes, for you, certainly with the 13, the 17 Pro, I think would merit a sensible investment. I'll tell you why. So they've got this new aluminium unibody design. So they made all the song and dance, didn't they, about titanium for the last couple of years, which they've actually made the Air with. And they need titanium for the Apple iPhone 17 Air because they need it to be rigid so it doesn't turn into a Nokia banana phone in the back of your pocket. That's not the case with the two Pros, which, by the way, are the fattest, represent the fattest iPhones they've ever made. Did you know that? So they've told you they've made the thinnest. They've not been so keen to point out that I do believe I'm right in saying this, that at least one of those two Pros is the fattest phone they've ever made. These are still very, very slimline pieces of technology. It's the camera plateau that I mentioned that I think you might like, Suze, because the performance from the cameras in this year's Pros is absolutely game-changing. So they've introduced 4K, 120 frames per second, ProRes RAW, and Apple Log 2. And if you want it, Genlock. Now, I might not have been that excited about this had I not just made a movie with a cinema camera, only to realise what that means. What it means, assuming you've got enough hard drive space, you can take incredibly vivid raw video, and then after the fact, if you want to, get it into an edit package, and you can effectively almost be like you're back filming it, because the parameters that you can alter, like the brightness, the contrast, the white balance, I mean, everything, you can alter everything, the exposure, you can change it all because it's raw. So you're taking all the mathematical data that the phone was using to capture an image, and then you can manipulate it as if you're stood back in front of the camera. Now, I don't know about you, it might not be that necessary, but for most of us, but what a thing, what a technical thing to pull off. And so to go with that, they've got the biggest batteries that they've ever had in any iPhone, and they're going to need it. They've got the A19 chip that you mentioned, the Pro, yeah, because you need horsepower, don't you, to drive that sort of sensor, or the three of them on the front. And they've also got the option, and then I promise I'll shut up, for the Pro Max, of a 2 terabyte hard drive. It's a blooming video camera system. It's a cinematic marvel. Really?
Yeah. Can we just talk a little bit about this new 18 megapixel center stage front facing camera that's got the large square format sensor, which enables you to switch between landscape and portrait without actually physically having to, you know, move the phone yourself. That's quite cute, isn't it?
It's clever. Well, when you've got a square sensor, it doesn't matter, does it? You don't have to move the phone because the sensor is already, you know, symmetrical. It's really clever. I didn't get a very clear understanding from the presentation last night or the night before that of how that works. So what I mean by that is the best scenario for me is, and we'll, by the time this goes out, listeners, viewers, you may know the answer to this, is whether you get to post the shooting experience, decide whether you want it landscape or vertical. That would be absolutely wonderful. I don't know, but Center Stage is definitely their attempt to try and sort out really the format wars. I mean, there's a real issue, isn't there? You take content and do you do it vertical? Do you do it widescreen? I centralize things so that I can, in the edit, when I've taken landscape, horizontal format, I can actually slice it up in the middle. Yeah, interesting.
I mean, it's mad, isn't it? When you know, when you're sort of saying this, it's ridiculous because you would have always shot everything in landscape, really. It was social media, Instagram, when that came along that was vertical. I was like, oh, now I've got to hold my phone like that. And it feels wrong because everything should be, to me, like well fashioned, but it, you know, it feels more cinematic when it's landscape. It feels better.
I agree.
When it's landscape.
I don't think you're old fashioned. I think it's very logical. It feels logical to me that you know, that you've shoot 16:9. So again, some clarity required here. I have to be honest. It's early. We're only just out of the announcement, and so I'm not actually sure how the process works. But with a square sensor, you ought to be able to retrospectively decide which of the two formats you want.
Just to talk colours and prices as headlines, really. iPhone 17, 256 gig base from $799, available in lavender, mist blue, black, white and sage. The lavender thing, I can't get on board with that. iPhone Air, it's from $999 for 256 gigabytes with colour choices of sky blue, space black, cloud white and light gold. And then your 17 Pro from £1,099. That comes in silver, cosmic orange and deep blue. I want to try a bit of cosmic orange.
I love a bit of cosmic orange. I'm a big fan of the chocolate orange, actually. Seeing as we've got all...
Okay,
no, because we're speaking like our moms.
No, but can we wait for Easter?
Like chocolate, would you like a segment of chocolate orange?
You bang it on the table, don't you? But it never does. I'm just going to go back to, you know, the
point. Yeah,
orange.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. iPhone 17 Pro Max. I'll just finish with that one. This is obviously the top end one. $1,199 with the same three finishes. Obviously, the cosmic orange and higher storage tiers, like Jay's mentioned there, two terabyte available.
It's just bananas, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Look, I can see she's going.
I want to ask a question. Oh no, because I've renovated a house, I've got no money. Is the Air? Do you think? Here's a question. Do you think it's the precursor to iPhone's foldable, which might come in 2027?
You're asking the wrong guy when it comes to foldables. I'll tell you what I mean by that. I don't get it. I've never got it.
I do.
Okay, but look, just bear with me. I'm going to give you an answer because I was aware that I didn't quite answer your question earlier. And what I was going to say is 120 hertz screen of the quality that those two pros are offering with the graphics grunt they've got, right? And the battery life, like the actual length of time you can have it. For you, Susie, will be... amazing, because you're always on blooming aeroplanes or in the back of a car or whatever, and you're going to be able to have hours and hours and hours of super high quality content that's easy on the eyes. That's what the refresh rate is really important for, especially as we're getting old. I know you're not aging, but I am. My eyes do ache a little bit if I overdo the old scrolling and that. And that's why refresh rate is really, really important. So that's another thing for you. And I know... You're probably not making a movie, but you do content, and so there is a reason that you would want to pay a bit of money for a phone that can really perform. You know, you did ask me, you asked me, what was the next question? It was about the Air, you're asking me.
Yeah, about it being a precursor to a foldable phone, because obviously it's Apple's 20th anniversary, isn't it? 2027.
I think it's a precursor to wearing it on your face, Susie. Honestly,
do
no,
you?
No, I'm not being silly.
Do you?
Yeah, because
I think... Are you going to go to glasses in 2027?
Oh, wow. I mean, as long as you don't quote me, I'll say yes. And then I'll say, no, I didn't. but I'm going to say yes, because it's so interesting. Like, for sure, the next Pros will be as thin as the Air. I believe that to be an obvious thing based on how they've worked previously, right? So I think they're testing a platform, and
But are they doing a foldable? What do you think?
It leaves me cold. No, I don't not like them. I don't understand them. So I think what Samsung in particular in that field have done is absolutely amazing. And how they got around that kind of crease that was a bit of an issue for early adopters. And we know, don't we? People that, if you love your Fold, you love your Fold. Like, there's no going back. Maybe I need to live with one. But I just don't get the reason for it. I'd rather have a Pro Max. I can hold it. I can look at it on the train, on the plane, on the bus, or wherever it is, and I can get an incredible viewing experience. I don't see the advantage of that extra screen estate when you fold it out. When you consider how vulnerable that design is to an idiot like me that drops his phone and all the rest of it. So I don't know. Susie, you could well be absolutely on the ball. I guess we'll find out. Right, a quick word. I've been waiting to say this since we found out there were our new sponsors from CEX.
CEX is quite literally a giant playground for gadget lovers. You'll find everything from iPhones, Androids, laptops and tablets to retro consoles, box games, cameras, VR headsets and even retro DVDs and Blu-rays.
Yes, I've got a feeling there's going to be an iPhone 13 that's well-travelled coming into a CEX in the Wolverhampton region very soon. And here's the amazing bit. Everything comes with a 5-year warranty. So whether you're picking up a nearly new laptop for work or a classic Nintendo DS, let's not forget, actually, the classic retro stuff that you can get from CS, then you can shop with confidence.
Yeah, it's not just about buying either. CEX will also take your old kit, as Jason was alluding to there. Phones, tablets, consoles, even those accessories that you've shoved in a drawer for years, you can trade them in for cash or get extra value if you choose store credit.
Yeah, which means that dusty PlayStation 2 in the loft. Well, that first-gen iPad still sitting unused in a drawer somewhere could be your ticket to a shiny upgrade or some retro treasure that you've always wanted.
So whether you're hunting for the latest gadgets, chasing retro gold, or just turning clutter into cash, check out WeBuy.com or visit one of nearly 400 CEX stores across the UK.
Yep, that's WeBuy.com. Show CEX some love. Job done.
What have you got on watches?
Okay, so Apple Watch 11. Interesting thing is it's gone 5G. So that's good, isn't it? Because if you're going to have a data-connected phone, you want the best data you can get. And 5G is the way to go. I mean, data's tricky enough as it is, isn't it? You know, traveling around even the UK, let alone Europe and so on, or you, the world. So, yeah, I think that's a really good innovation. And this notion that it's going to be able to use, a combination of Apple intelligence and various mathematical algorithms to guess at your blood pressure and give you a blood pressure alert, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, they demoed the hypertension detection, didn't they?
Yeah, so the hypertension thing has been around for a little bit, but this new blood pressure warning, that is brand new. That is a really good use, finally, of Apple intelligence. I mean, they're still not there. They mentioned it a little bit, but they definitely didn't go all singing and dancing, did they? Like they did previously, because they've had their fingers burnt, meaning they predicted all these Apple intelligence services that never really arrived. They're still not delivering what they promised in Apple intelligence, except with this watch, where it's got this great ability, and the Ultra 3 that they also announced. It's got this way of using AI to look at, I'm guessing, light sensor, you know, your veins or whatever it is, you know, your blood, and they can work out what your blood pressure ought to be at that moment in time. And if it's high, it sends an alert. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You just mentioned the Ultra 3 there. Shall we talk a little bit about that, which is obviously expands functionality with a larger, brighter display, satellite connectivity for off-grid emergency messaging, and up to 42 hours of battery life, 72 hours in low power mode.
I wasn't a fan of the sharp edge, and that's interesting because they've kind of unsharpened that by losing some of the bezels, you say, providing a much larger screen. I think it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, I don't know much more than what you've said. I think the two-way satellite messaging thing is interesting. That's incredible because it is the sort of watch, isn't it? Really, it is. It's taken over from the Breitling emergency watch, hasn't it? In that you don't need to buy a Breitling with a radio in it that will call a rescue helicopter. You can now use a much more intelligent watch that can two-way, so it can give the emergency services should you be unlucky enough to be in a in a situation on the mountain or something. You can actually tell them what's happening because it comes up from what I saw on the demo. It comes up with kind of pre-configured suggestions. It asks you questions, you know what I mean? It might say something like, I sense something's not quite right. Are you okay? No. Has this happened? And it's all contextually aware. And AI is only going to improve that service. Interesting. 5G connectivity, that's the other headline, isn't it, from the Ultra 3. So interesting. The same blood pressure alert and more intelligent sleep score. Apart from that, I mean, a lot of it didn't excite me too much. I mean, the one thing that all of the devices seem to feature, I think all of them, certainly the phones, is this ceramic coating, which is like one atom thick or something, they said. It's incredible. So you're not only getting... Yeah, you're not only getting incredibly strong glass, you're getting an extra added sort of security layer should you be unlucky enough to drop or scrape your phone.
Yeah, so scratch resistant, really, isn't it?
Yeah, through this ceramic coating. So that's another thing that caught my attention.
All right, well, seeing as I've left my AirPod Pro 2s in a hotel, let's talk about
this
AirPods.
This is where it gets... Yeah, gets interesting.
Gets interested. So AirPods Pro 3 are coming in at $249. They've now got enhanced noise cancellation, live translation in real time, which I know we're both pretty excited about this.
Yes.
Onboard health rate monitoring and a redesigned fit. And for once, the battery's life has had a proper bump as well. So up to 10 hours on a single charge and 40 if you've got the case. So what about this then, this live translation in real time? It's
nuts,
absolute
man.
Game changer.
I've got mine here. Look, I haven't lost them. I lose them all the time and I use the Find My feature, which is what... Did you use that to find them in your...
Well, no, I just knew I'd left them. I knew where they were. So it dawned on me as I reached the airport.
I'm like a goldfish. I mean, I just drop them everywhere and have no memory of it whatsoever. Then I go walking around trying to listen for the almost inaudible beep that they emit when you ask them to. I think for £249, take my credit card. I mean, I am first in line for this. I love my AirPods. My wife hates them because she thinks I use them to ignore her. I don't. I do. But listen, I love immersing myself in an audio book or in, you know, some content. Apparently, with that in mind, the active noise cancellation is 2 times better than the previous version. How you measure that, I don't know. Like, sounds a bit arbitrary to me, but I mean, I don't like mad levels of ANC, active noise cancellation, because sometimes it feels a bit weird. It's a bit like going underwater. But anyway, it'll do that.
I do like...
You'd
that.
Like that. But
well,
what happens...
I can't get on a plane, you see. I cannot get on a plane and listen to anybody.
I do not want
to hear anybody on a plane.
Well, these are for you. And the other thing is, though, if someone sat next to you on that plane and it's some, you know, a handsome chap, right, and he's from, like, you know, Spain or somewhere, and he says something in Spanish, you can just do some gesture. I didn't really notice what it was from the launch the other day, but you do a gesture, and then his voice will come momentarily after he's spoken, like literally within half a second, in English in your ear. And that's nuts. And then you can apparently, you can hold your iPhone up and you can either point it at him and it'll speak a reply to him, or it'll give you, how that works, I don't know, because what if he says, I would like to sleep with you, and it comes through and you go, oh, yes, please. And you're like, I never said that. I don't know how that bit works. But anyway, apparently there is a way of playing a response back to him. I'm a bit confused, as you can imagine. Who cares? I just want to hear the English guy, the the Spanish guy in English on my earphones, and I'm going to be blown away. I think that's amazing, don't you?
I do think it's amazing. I would really like to try it, actually. When I'm working, I work with a guy called Gavin Emmett who can speak, I think, every single language in the world, it seems like. And wow. When he's with us, wherever we go, you know, he kind of orders food. And I mean, we can all speak a bit of different languages, but he's incredible. So I would call my new AirPods Gavin, I think. I think they should be.
Call him Gavin. And
Gavin.
I think this function, again, is going to only improve, isn't it? Like, this is the worst it's ever going to be. And it's going to get better and better and better by virtue of AI. And so, again, it's nuts, man. So we used to plug in a cable, a 3.5mm jack, and stick a bit of plastic in our ear with a diaphragm in it, and it'd wobble and move the air, and that would be how we got sound in our ears with our headphones. Now, they're wireless. They're miniature computers that, oh, by the way, can check your heart rate as well. You know that, right? The AirPod Pro 3s can now do your heart rate as well. Why is that important when your watch can? Because I have a watch, but I don't really use it. It's my son's old one. I kind of bought it off him. I don't use it that much. I go to the gym, Suze. I put my phone in. I leave it in. I probably shouldn't say this. Someone will nick off with it. I put it in my hoodie because I don't want my phone in my back pocket when I'm doing handstands and stuff, you know, because this is what I'm into. I'm into calisthenics now. That's my new thing. But I've got my AirPods in, right?
Yeah.
And now they can give me my heart rate. So after the workout, I can check, you know, what I was doing and what it was doing to my body and all the kind of the way that the data, you know, the health rings, and that extrapolates from that, doesn't it? And tells you little goals and things that you can do. Amazing. For £249. Wow.
Yeah, it's right. I think it's time we did a little wrap up. Do you
I think
do
we
that?
Should.
So the big picture then, really, in summary, the iPhone Air is a proper step forward. I think we're saying that, aren't we? Apple proving it can still surprise with its design, its thin light. And it just feels like the start of something new. Like there's something's going to come, you know, from this kind of design, I think.
Yeah, we've witnessed the beginning of something. Because if you can cram that amount of power into something so infeasibly thin, then you can then whack screens on it and you can, like I said, wear it. Or like you said, you can fold it. So watch this space. But the rest of the lineup, feels more iterative, Susie. You know, the Pro's 8x zoom, nice. I mean, I did notice that with a little bit of pinching, so you got your optical zoom 8x, and then you can zoom in a bit more with the software. They reckon it's the equivalent of a 200mm lens. Well, when I go surfing and I see, as a dad, and I watch my son and I film him, next to me there might be a surf photographer and he or she will be using a 200mm lens. So that's a very usable lens for sport and maybe bird watching and things like that in a phone. Nuts. And then obviously the AirPod and the move to aluminium, or the move back to aluminium. Interesting. Unibody chassis. I thought that was quite interesting. And that great camera. That's another thing. I think I'm selling this to myself. Anyway, the AirPods was what I was going to say, with the live translation. That's a
like
big
that.
Headline, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it, absolutely. It's like Apple laying foundations, it feels like. Sort of a bit of a lean on Apple Intelligence. They're pushing health, obviously stretching the battery life, while keeping the... I think they're keeping the real fireworks for later. Right then, shall we hop over to Berlin? Because IFA 2025 has recently wrapped and it was a proper good gadget carnival, wasn't it?
Yeah, a proper good gadget carnival. Nice. I like that. The show floor was buzzing with everything from stair climbing robot vacuums to laptops that twist on their axis.
Yeah, so we've picked out the best of the bunch, the ones that aren't just flashy but could actually make a difference in your day-to-day life. Okay, so first up, Lenovo's ThinkBook Vertiflex Concept. So this is a 14-inch laptop with a display that physically rotates from landscape to portrait. It's slim at 17.9mm and lightweight at just under 1.4 kilos, giving serious portability plus a productivity boost when reading long docs or coding vertically. It even includes Smart Connect, so when flipped vertically, your phone can mirror or transfer files instantly. A niche twist, but real benefit for multitaskers and content makers.
I love it. I mean, not easy, is it, to innovate in that space? And yet they've done it. Lenovo, yet again, I think, a real force of industrial sort of creativity. Like, I love their products. Really, really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, how about a handheld gaming beast, Susie, in the shape of the Lenovo Legion Go 2. Now, you'll know that I am very excited about something that we predicted, certainly it was probably in the last series, but in a series of the Gadget Show podcast, and then it was announced, which of course is the Rogue or ROG Xbox Ally. I'm going to go Rogue Xbox Ally, that's what I want to say, and the Ally X. So two different units, both natively Xbox ready, one more powerful than the other, hence the X, right? Now, I'm very excited about that. And when I get one, which should be this side of Christmas, so therefore in this series of the Gadget Show podcast, we'll do a thorough review, okay? But coming a very close second, and definitely piquing my interest, is Lenovo's Legion Go 2, which is a similar thing. So imagine a Steam Deck, but with some really interesting sort of chunky architecture to it. The Legion Go 2 is their brand new gaming handheld. You're getting an 8.8-inch OLED display running at 144 hertz. So this hertz thing, this refresh thing, is de rigueur. It's all the rage, not just in the Apple iPhones that we just talked about, but in every other device, because I think designers are realizing that as we spend time on these devices, that our comfort and health is very important. And certainly in my experience, the higher the hertz, the more easy on the eye these displays are, not to mention the more fluid the graphics, because hertz in many respects relates to frame rate. So if you've got a 144 hertz screen, you could expect to get 144 frames per second on your, you know, Fortnite or Call of Duty, whatever. It's powered by Ryzen's Z2 Extreme chip with up to 32 gigs of RAM and a massive 2 terabyte SSD. The battery is huge too, at 74 watt hours, and the controller's detached so that you can play however you like. This is sounding really interesting as I go through it. It's not cheap though, okay? I'm so sorry. It starts at the moment, $1,049. Oh my God. And goes up to $1,349 if you want the top spec model. But look, if you aren't able to spend a lot of time in your front room where your office is, or your front room or where your PC is, or your office where your PC is, and you game, you don't game predominantly on a desktop PC, then, you know, this is a really good alternative for people that travel a lot, because laptops ultimately are quite heavy. This is a thoroughbred, incredibly powerful gaming PC in a handheld device with screen and controllers.
So it's
a shrunk down version. Obviously aimed squarely at gaming enthusiasts, right, who want to port that PC experience into something they can put in their rucksack. You probably can't fit it in your back pocket. It's too big. And importantly, it also works really well across all the different services, like Steam, Xbox Game Pass, and locally installed AAA titles. Although, if you're going AAA, you're definitely going to need that 2 terabytes, Suze. That was my takeaway from IFA.
If you come into some money, that's the one, basically. That's what you're saying, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Smart homes and robots really had a moment as well at IFA this year. Philips Hue unveiled the Bridge Pro, and it's a biggie. So it can now handle up to 150 lights. 500 different scenes. Plus, they've launched a new essentials line to make smart lighting a little bit more affordable. Let's just jump straight to the crowd pleaser, which is always robots. There's the Eufy Mars Walker, which, as Jason mentioned earlier, it literally climbs stairs with your vacuum on its back. So you don't have to carry the vacuum cleaner up the stairs. Dyson also stepped in. It's good, that, isn't it? With Spot and Scrub. Yeah, no, it is. And mobile, if you've got any issues or anything, or if you're just lazy like me. So Dyson also stepped in with the Spot and Scrub. Now, this is an AI-powered vac mop that can actually spot stains on your floor and scrub them out. And for something a little bit different, There's the Ace Mate tennis robot. Here we go. Dual 4K cameras, wheels that glide in every direction, and it basically acts as your personal tennis coach. Now, what's not to love about that?
But they have a whole pavilion at IFA, don't they, dedicated to robots. It's absolutely amazing. Some of the best robots I've ever seen were at IFA. I actually wish I could have gone this year. I really missed it. So maybe next year. But for TV aficionados, Dolby officially unveiled Dolby Vision 2. This is really important stuff. It's their next-gen HDR standard, complete with AI smarts and motion tricks that genuinely wowed everyone that attended the show. So what is Dolby Vision? What's it about? Well, if you don't know, it's basically a sort of premium version of HDR or high dynamic range. It makes your TV picture brighter, your colors more accurate, and importantly, darker scenes much darker. If you don't have that sort of functionality on your screen at home, it's incredible how not black blacks are on a television. They can be light gray, and it can really be a wow factor when you get that tuned in properly. So Dolby Vision is powered by a brand new, more powerful image engine with what they call content intelligence that adapts to what you're watching. All right. Plus, it also makes account of the lighting in the room for a smarter experience. It has tools like Precision Black. How did I guess that? For better detail in dark scenes. And the opposite end of the scale, Light Sense, which adjusts the display based on your room's lighting. So, you know, you're going to get that, you know, sooty darkness, that blackness, which if you like horror movies and thrillers and things is really important. But also for sports and for the all-important gaming, there are fine-tuned white point and motion enhancements to make the action sharper and smoother. Canal Plus, so that's French broadcaster and an important voice in independent film production and distribution, has already signed on to deliver content in Dolby Vision 2. And we feel, the Gadget Show podcast, that this is set to be a very, very important platform moving forward. And it's funny because imagine that we were telling you about Dolby Surround Sound for the first time, or Dolby Atmos, which we actually did on one of the last series of the Gadget Show. I remember going to Soho and seeing this incredible concept of having sort of 20-odd or 30-odd speakers. So they're really at the forefront of innovation, and what they showed at IFA, I think, made a lot of attention and could be something to look out for. It's probably going to be one of those things that appears when you go into your store and you're looking to buy a new TV for Christmas, the sort of thing you need to be looking out for. I'm not sure it'll be this side of Christmas, maybe Christmas 2026, but there you go.
So if you are looking to upgrade your binge experience, for example, next year, you might want to hold off till 2027 and go full Dolby Vision 2.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that these new TVs with this new layer of visual excellence, they're not going to land until around 2026, really, with maybe the more affordable mid-range stuff in 2027. So, yeah, a bit of future gazing, but fascinating nonetheless. And that's it for this episode. A huge thanks to CEX for supporting the show.
Yeah, remember, you can grab the latest tech or retro games and trade in your old gadgets for cash or store credit, all with a 5-year warranty at CEX. Find out more at webuy.com or in one of nearly 400 CEX stores across the UK. And before we wrap up this week's show, we want to give a huge shout out to some very special people on our Patreon Elite Supporters page.
Oh, yeah, huge, massive thanks to Dean Day, Chris Cool, Stephen Green, Tall Man with Glasses, Andrew Bamford. And I've seen him, I know him, and he is a tall man with glasses. And the brilliant Duncan Bell. Thank you so much.
I've got some more for you. Thank you to Colin Jones, Gordon Packer, Richard Martin, Simon Ryland, Philip Eddington, Richard Wykes, and Danny Rushton. You all rock.
Yeah, you're absolute legends. You're the reason that we can make the podcast and keep making it, bringing you all this gadgety goodness. And if you're thinking, hang on a minute, where's my name in that list? Well, it could be there. All you need to do is join Patreon. Loads of extras. I told you, I've done the shed or the lockup or whatever you want to call it. And that content is coming. It took me far too long, but I've done it. And you can watch and listen to the podcast in addition to that behind the scenes stuff ad free.
Yeah, exactly. So head to patreon.com, The Gadget Show, for your very own shout out on the show.
So come on, join the Gadget Gang. We'd love to welcome you.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.